Episode 34, The Benefits of Self-Discipline.
Where meditation meets daily life, this is the Meditation Freedom Podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Meditation Freedom Podcast. A podcast all about meditation, mindfulness, why we do it, and how we bring that or integrate that into our daily lives. And this podcast, for the most part, I like to interview folks who have a lot of experience with meditation and mindfulness. But every so often, we do a little solo episode or an episode just with Christina and myself. And in today's episode, we want to discuss a little bit about the benefits of cultivating a self-discipline. And just to start out, I wanted to start with a couple of quotes, and I tried to look for other wisdom traditions and see if they had any good quotes about discipline, but there's a couple here that I think are most relevant to a meditation practice. And the first one is from Pema Chodron, and I like it because it's very concise. She says, the way she understands sila, or discipline, it is a process that supports us in going against the grain of our painful habitual patterns. And she further notes that discipline provides the support to slow down enough and be present enough so that we can live our lives without making a big mess. It provides the encouragement to step further into groundlessness. And then she goes on to say, what we discipline is not so much our badness or our wrongness. What we discipline is any form of potential escape from reality. In other words, discipline allows us to be right here and connect with the richness of the moment. And what makes this discipline free from severity is prajna, or wisdom. The other quote I found is from the Dhammapada. And it is a quote attributed to the Buddha. It is, with sustained effort and sincerity, discipline and self-control, the wise become like islands, which no flood can overwhelm. So with that, here's our conversation with Christina and myself. So the reason why I think there's very few really positive things that's being said about discipline, it has kind of a negative connotation. And so what Christina and I want to talk about is a little bit about self-discipline, which is more positive, I think, because it's about self-control and doing something, creating a structure for yourself that has benefits and dividends.
Yeah, I think this is a big issue for me because I tend to be pretty undisciplined compared to you, Siko. Siko gets up every morning and does his meditation. And I do it some mornings, but not always. I know the benefits of meditation because I've been on many retreats. And I know it's good for me. And I know it's good for me physically and mentally. But I have trouble with the discipline of getting up and doing it every day, in spite of knowing the benefits. And part of that may be that we are so programmed to believe if we do something, we need results. We need results right away. I didn't lose 5 pounds this month, so I'm off my diet. And discipline's kind of like that. You know, you have to be willing to get through that downtime where not much is happening.
Those dry periods.
Right. And meditation, you know, it takes some time for you to really realize fully the benefits of it. So it is hard to keep going. But it's like everything else. You know it's good for you, but there's resistance. And I think Siko can probably be the best person to talk about that because he's found the way to get past that.
When I was young, at about teenager, I think one of the things that made me realize that discipline was valuable and created freedom was that on the margins of the day, which in my case was early in the morning, because I would go to school, to high school, which I absolutely hated going to school. But by getting up a little bit extra early, I tried that just as an experiment. And I noticed that when I got up early, it gave me that sense of control and freedom that I had a piece of the day that was where somebody wasn't telling me what to do. And so that's when I realized that it was for me that I was doing it. It wasn't, the discipline wasn't of getting up early, wasn't punitive or self-punishment, but it was actually giving me more freedom. You know what I'm saying? And, I spent many years being totally non-disciplined. I tried this meditation and that meditation, and I just tried everything, and it wasn't really working. So I did also learn that I have to do something consistently, regularly, and stick with one type of practice.
But I don't necessarily think that it's bad to go from one practice to another until you find
something that works for you.
If having a mantra works for you, if Vipassana works for you, whatever form of meditation, we do Zen meditation. That's not the only way. There's so many ways for you to engage yourself in a meditation practice. The rub is that, you can practice with other people. But typically you can't do that every day. So The key is having the discipline to get up in the morning or before sometime during the day, setting a time when you will do that, when you will follow your breath and let your mind become peaceful. And it's not a quick fix. It's not, I didn't lose 5 pounds this month, or I forgot to go to the gym yesterday, so why bother to go today? It's like anything else in life. We tend to make excuses. And meditation is a practice that requires time, before you'll realize the full benefits of it. But even as infrequently, but I don't sit meditation nearly as often as Siko does, I still benefit greatly from it when I do. So if I miss a day, that's not a reason not to go back the next day. And that is the hard part, I think, for most of us, is it's not a quick fix. You're not going to get immediate results, but you will get them if you persist. So...
And it's like a muscle. If you use it more, it gets stronger too, right?
Right.
Because there's got to be, when we brush our teeth, most people brush their teeth and they don't even think twice about that investment. But it's a small, little investment that has the payoff of having your teeth not rot and having to get drilled by the doctor. Why do you think that's easier?
And for short-term thinkers like myself... I don't worry so much about getting my teeth drilled as I don't like the feeling of not having a clean mouth. So right. I want to brush my teeth.
And so there is an instant gratification.
There's an instant gratification, but there really is with meditation too, because after you do it for a while, you can sit down and find this place where you can kind of clear your thoughts. And I don't know, what happens for me is I just will feel this sensation of love and compassion for all beings. And that's a wonderful feeling. And it makes, if I started out feeling negative or grumpy that day, it kind of eases that away and reminds me that I'm part of this large whole with all these other millions of beings. And it's very comforting.
Mm-hmm. And I also realized, I've realized over time that when I was younger, I didn't realize how important the practice was. But then as I got older, I got more and more serious about it, and not serious in the sense that I never feel joy, that's somehow an obligation or something like that. But I take the practice seriously, but then I take joy in the practice. So it's like, you know, you're embracing two seemingly opposite things of the spectrum, but there's a real commitment and investment, you know, like I'm investing some time every day to sit and meditate, you know, and of course I then bring that meditation as a walking meditation, you know, through mindfulness is throughout the whole day. But I really do believe that for me, in my case, it was very important to make that initial investment as I wake up in the morning to sit down for, you know, for me, at least 30 minutes so that I can really settle and slow down and experience the benefits of meditation,
stillness. I just want to add that you can have a meditation practice throughout the day where you don't have to absolutely have a formal time. For example, I've talked about my car. When I get in my car and start backing out the driveway, I'm looking at the tree in the yard and I'm enjoying it every day. And I'm looking around me and I take a breath and I'm feeling peaceful. And you can use techniques like that, like when you get in the car, when you stop at a red light or a stop sign, taking a breath and just being present in the moment. And those are almost little mini meditations that, or when you're walking, be aware of each step, be aware of the sun or the clouds or the rain. Be aware of how you feel internally and what your external world looks like and how, you know, don't forget to notice the beauty around you because it's everywhere. And that is meditation. You can go through the day in a state of deep mindfulness.
That's meditation in motion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Much like yoga or Tai Chi disciplines but you can think of walking and talking and everything you do as being right on the edge of that deep silence, that deep internal silence where you're one with everything and you appreciate everything in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, I also found that as the years went by, I wanted to practice with a community and a teacher that had a good reputation. And this helps you to go deeper because the deeper your practice is, the more you see, you know, where you still have gaps, where you still maybe lose composure or where you lose, where you get forgetful, where you're sloppy. There's multiple people then looking at the back of your neck. And in our case, if you're married, there's always that feedback too, which is very helpful. I might think I'm mindful, but then Christina might say, well, you just messed this up or you forgot this or you did that or you let the dogs run loose over there. You know, whatever it is, it's a constant reminder. Oh, okay. You know, I wasn't mindful here or I was forgetful there. And, more practice is needed. So it's a constant feedback and constant reminder, and it fuels my practice to see where all the gaps still are and where I might still have some, maybe I have some mean-spiritedness somewhere still, and to look at that part of myself, to lean into that discomfortable part of yourself that you formerly were just kind of hiding, you didn't want to acknowledge.
I'm glad you mentioned dogs because if you have animals in your home or access to animals and you watch we have dogs, so I look at the dogs and I see them being so fully present every moment. You know, they're always prepared for anything. They're always ready to have the next experience. They're never bored by the same experiences because they're always in the present moment. And for them, it's always new and wonderful that if you leave the house and have to go back in because you forgot your keys, the dogs act like they haven't seen you in a week. Mm. You know, they're just totally present. They're joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think all of us can learn a lot by watching our pets and seeing how the world is always new to them. They're always present in the world. They're not expecting anything. They're always surprised and joyous. So,
yeah, they don't have any preconceived notions.
Right. They just are, and they're prepared for adventure always. And, it's wonderful to see, and it's a great teacher. Animals are a great teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. And they like to, sometimes they'll get me to walk in the morning, and then that's a meditation, you know, like, today or this week, my back was hurting because I have some sciatic nerve issues sometimes that flare up. And then instead of sitting on in a kneeling position or sitting in kind of a half lotus type position, which is like sitting with your legs crossed, which triggers more of that sciatica, I go for a walking meditation. And other times, you know, like if I'm not sleeping or if I suddenly wake up in the middle of the night, rather than just laying around tossing and turning on the bed, I might do a meditation then. And that can be a wonderful time to meditate. The monks in Mount Athos in Greece used to say that midnight is when the heart is most open. And so they know something too, after all the, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of practice, that, you know, sometimes it's in those unexpected moments or hours that our mind and our heart can be the most open to, and then when we do a sit in a practice of some kind or whatever meditation it is that's open-handed and open-hearted, then we're able to receive more of the world inside of us. We're able to become still and really notice what's going on. So yeah, so I have kind of there are times when I don't wake up exactly at 5 and start meditating, you know, so then sometimes we'll have to get an electronic device, because normally I try to avoid having any electronics, especially when you wake up, because those are all stimulants and they get your mind going. But sometimes I'll bring in my cell phone with a slow wake up sequence that has a little bit of a buzzer type thing, just to get myself back on track with the 5-ish, 5:30-ish startup time. Cause that's for me is a great time, cause it's really quiet. Everybody's still kind of asleep. And for me, that's a really good time to start the day with meditation. But, you know, for when you're laying in bed and waking up, just that moment is very important, I think, because you could really set your intention. You know, for a lot of people, the first moment when they wake up is, I didn't get enough sleep. And I did that for many years too. It's that immediately that tape comes, starts playing, like, it's not enough. I didn't get enough sleep. Today's going to be a pain or whatever we think. So for me, just, if you could even start your day with that, just waking up and taking a few deep breaths and saying something like, today is a wonderful day, it's 24 hours, and I'm going to make the best of it, and I'm going to try to be as mindful and as attentive as possible. And, you know, things like that. I've shake it up and try different ways to start. You think that that's a good way to start the day?
I think that's excellent. I don't know that everybody can do that exactly then, but I think it's good to have those little moments to just stop and breathe throughout your day. Just stop and look around you and be aware of your body and your environment and take a breath. And that's really a little mini meditation for you. You know, you don't necessarily have to have a time every day that you sit in meditation. It's a good idea, but it's one of those things that you don't see benefits right away. You're thinking, why am I bothering to do this? I thought I was going to get enlightened here yesterday. And of course, that doesn't happen. What happens is, after you do it often enough, you start wanting it because of the peace you feel in your mind and your body. Just the stillness becomes addictive. because it brings up so much of what's inside you, so much kindness, so much compassion, because that is essentially who you are.
Right.
And not let the other things distract you, like the anger and the greed and the frustrations of daily living. That isn't really who you are.
Yeah.
Who you are is a being that's filled with love and kindness, and feed that in yourself through meditation.
And that stillness is always there. It's just, when you're on the surface too much, then you don't notice the stillness that's deep inside, and that's everywhere around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get caught up in the what they sometimes call the worldly winds. Yeah, the distractions and the stresses and all of those things.
I love this image of the filling a glass with clear water and then dropping some dirt in the water. This is the whole lotus flower idea. And if the glass sits there for an hour, the dirt will slowly go to the bottom, just like the lotus flower lives in mud, but it comes up this beautiful white flower. And that's, if you can think of your mind that way, letting the clutter in your mind kind of flow to the bottom of the glass to where it's crystal clear and you're present with your breath and comfortable, and in that stillness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for anybody listening, in terms of the discipline, the self-discipline, there are little tricks and tools that I use, and I've mentioned them probably in the past too, like the meditation timers or, like the YouTube video that I created that has a bell every 30 minutes or every 15 minutes that goes off. That's, because it is very tempting to just get caught up in the busyness. And so a bell just kind of goes, oh, I'm giving myself permission to slow down and take a few breaths. And, as you mentioned earlier, it can be really hard in the morning to get in the habit of maybe, giving yourself 3 or 4 a minute or so to lay in bed and think of some of your positive intentions for your day. But, if you have a hard time with that, you could just create a note, put a note under your cushion or next to your bed so that you're reminded that way. So you can practice if it needs a week of that or a month of practicing with a note, then just do that. I mean, we've got a sign on the wall, breathe, you're alive. A couple of Thich Nhat Hanh's signs that we put on the kitchen or the bathroom walls just to be reminded to be present. I've got the big painting behind us that says this is it, which is the same logo that I use on my website. This is it with a exclamation mark. This really is it, this moment, this very moment, and then this moment, and so on, each moment. That really helps you. These are like little aids, little allies to help you be more mindful in each moment and realize that this is it. This is your one and only life.
I was thinking as we're talking about the morning, starting meditation in the morning, I'm thinking of the mom who has a demanding job, and the children. She has to get up, get dressed, get bathed, feed breakfast, get them off to school, and the busy guy who has a meeting at 8 o'clock and everything depends on it to him. And, the stress we feel as we begin our day with all the things we have to do. We have to get up to do this and that and the other thing.
The to-do lists.
Yeah. And I would suggest getting up 5 minutes earlier and sitting quietly for 5 minutes, or laying in bed quietly and not letting all those thoughts intrude for just a few moments. Just let your mind be still for a few moments before you start your day. And it makes it go easier. It makes it go better.
Right.
If you start the day that way. But it's hard. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
Because everybody's so busy. Everybody's rushing to and fro. And they're
not
really
being... Well,
and we
get a lot of things thrown at us,
Yeah.
And now with social media and so forth, it seems like There's this sense that you're missing out if you're not checking this or checking the news or this and that. And one of the tricks that I learned was to write down in half-hour increment every single day what I did the last half hour. And this is just another tool to make you aware. And, you know, like, for example, if you were looking at the news for an hour in the morning and you wrote down what you do every half hour or every hour of the day, it makes you aware, oh, maybe I spent an hour or 2 hours just reading the news. And, you know, then maybe if that makes you more anxious, maybe the next day you could try cutting it down to 1 hour a day. Now you have maybe half an hour or just even 10 minutes that you could do a mini meditation, or that you could just sit and breathe. So, you know, those are different ways that you become aware of how the coin of your time is spent. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Bringing up the news, I'm an addict on the news. I'm very interested in politics and everything that's going on in the world. And it isn't always good for me because there's so much negativity. And it's a good idea to just take a breath away from some of these daily routines that we get stuck in. Like, I get stuck with the news and I get myself riled up and I'm thinking about all this, and
it could even affect your sleeping.
Yeah. So it's a good idea to limit some of the negativity that comes into your life. If there's people around you at work or that in your family that are just being difficult and challenging, sometimes it's good to just take a breath and think of how they're feeling instead of reacting.
Right. I agree.
What I'm trying to say is that we go through life reacting. We're always in a hurry and we're always reacting to the things around us. And part of meditation is just stopping and, you know, not reacting immediately to a situation, but taking a breath and being aware.
Yeah, you know, the quote I like is, affliction creates awareness, and awareness negates affliction. So to me, awareness is, the cultivation of awareness is to me what self-discipline is about. And, you know, by awareness, I mean awareness of what's going on inside of yourself, what's going on outside, what's going on everywhere. Awareness, being awake, being present.
I like what Suzuki said about enlightenment. Everyone's complaining, oh, I didn't get enlightened, and I sat at this retreat and nothing happened, and why aren't I enlightened? And Suzuki made the comment, there's no such thing as enlightenment, only enlightened moments.
Right.
So those moments of awareness, when you're feeling compassion toward others and you're not reacting immediately in a negative way, those are moments of enlightenment. Those are the moments of stillness in your mind that can transport difficult situations. You know, it can take you out of them, because people can't react to someone who's being still and being calm and being quiet.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Those can be really transformative moments where a seemingly impossible situation suddenly becomes workable, because one of the persons or one of the parties is slowing down enough and creating stillness instead of reacting in a habitual pattern.
All this is about habits, you know, and Seiko's really found a way to make meditation a fundamental part of his life every single day. I mean, even when we go on vacation, he takes his pillow and
one of those blow up pillows,
so he can do meditation. It's that powerful for him, and in the years I've known him, the 20 years or so we've been together, I've seen the changes in him, how he's become calmer, kinder, gentler. His reactions are much more balanced. And I see that in myself, too. And a lot of it's him rubbing off on me. You know, we are working on this together.
Yeah, it's together.
It's a joint project. And it's much easier to see in him than, of course, it is in other people or even myself. But it makes a huge difference in people's lives when they learn to be still and breathe.
Yeah, and for me, one of the moments where I knew it was really transforming the way you looked at things was when you came back from that session, the retreat in Olympia, and it was in the really winter. It was ice cold, and it was just white. Everything was white, and you had a real problem with winters. And, you know, as a Southern California, you just didn't, you couldn't relate to a world that looked to you was dead, you know, like it was a dead zone. And, but then after that retreat, remember what, how did it feel then?
I was driving home from Olympia and I was looking around. Eastern Washington is quite barren looking, and it was white and snow, and I was looking at it and I realized how beautiful it was, how incredible it was. And I just, you know, I had a plan to always be negative about cold weather, and it forced me to change my thinking. You know, it was just too beautiful, you know, to be hateful toward it. It was something lovely, and it did change my attitude toward winter. I'm not saying I was crazy about it, but I got easier with it.
Right. It was no longer an other or an enemy, something out there.
Right.
It's like you became more intimate with the world. So just to wrap this up, for me, self-discipline is just a big part of a meditation practice and what makes me more mindful, because the mindfulness throughout the day is enhanced by, for me, and I know for a lot of other folks, like Mother Teresa, for example, somebody in Christianity who thought it was really important to spend an hour or a couple hours a day in silence and in contemplation. And, you know, I find that the case for folks in all wisdom traditions. So it's just, and like Jason Garner said, it's a time to take care of the monk side in us. You know, that's really...
We mentioned Jason Garner, and it just made me think of Gail Story. We Siko interviewed her, and I just thought she was such a remarkable person to go on this journey, the Pacific Crest Trail. And she was very deeply in touch with being present in her life on that journey, and I think it helped her walk all those miles. And you know, these are inspirational people, these people who can bring a practice into their daily life and help them to move forward one step in front of the other.
Right. So, Christina mentioned that episode with Gail Story, and that was episode 3. So to find that, just go to meditationfreedom.com/003. All right. Well, that's all I've got to say. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
Just keep working at it. Keep taking a breath and looking around you and being aware of who you are in this life at this moment.
Well, thanks so much for listening. And you can find this episode show notes at meditationfreedom.com/034. So, you know, other than kind of an abbreviated transcript, there's not much else on these show notes. I'll put a couple more pictures of my desert excursions and, you know, my sunrise pictures and that kind of stuff. And just a quick shout out to Marina from Los Angeles, who has a website called Mindful Memory Keeping. And thanks so much for your support and your comments. I really appreciate it. And I'll close with a couple more quotes. And one of them is a favorite of mine as well. and it's from Aristotle. He says, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." And then one more quote from the Dhammapada. "Like a beautiful flower full of color but without fragrance, even so, fruitless are the fair words of one who does not practice them." There's always a gap between your ideal and your practice of that ideal. So that's kind of why I practice too, to reduce that gap. So let us know what you think. On the show notes, you can always leave a comment for Christina or myself. And Christina, by the way, was a diet counselor a long time ago. So thanks so much, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Meditation Freedom Podcast, where meditation meets daily life.